And we're about to go into a conversation, of course, about the City Paper. Today, our producer, Mark Unry, takes over.
Bangtown, North and P, Park Heights, RNG, White Lock, Cherry Hill, North of Long and Doeville.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Unry here for The Mark Steiner Show. I am here with Brandon Soderberg, deputy editor and arts editor for The City Paper, to talk about what's in this week's issue of The City Paper. And Brandon, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So this is the music issue, right?
Yes. We do usually a big music issue every summer, usually in June or July. This one is about Baltimore club music history, Baltimore dance music history in general, specifically tied to the imminent closing of the Paradox and the eventual demolition of it. This, you know, club that's been a part of Baltimore for 25 years, started in 1991 by Wayne Davis, who previously owned another place called Club Fantasies, and before that owned a place called O'Dell's. So we wanted to sort of explore this past, present, future of club music and see what was at stake when this place goes away and it gets demolished and is replaced by a new, more kind of casino-friendly club that's going to be called Hammerjacks, which is the name of another club, but an older club in Baltimore. And then while this issue was sort of coming together, there was the shooting in Orlando, which led to a lot of conversations about, the importance of the club, importance of spaces like the club, especially for the LGBTQ community, and also just in a way, just spaces for people of color where they can have fun and enjoy themselves and be themselves. So we also have photos by Joe Giordano, who went down to Orlando and shot some of the vigils down there. And we have some photos from Reginald Thomas and a couple other photographers at the vigil that was at the Why Not lot. Mm-hmm. So the idea was sort of to make a case for dance music as more than dance music for those who don't already kind of know that or understand that.
How would you make that case for people who are not that familiar with club music? Could you talk about why you see it that way?
Sure, yeah. So, I mean, the easiest thing is it's seen as escapism, and escapism is important for people. It's not – you shouldn't underrate that in and of itself. But these places become places where people can gather and interact in maybe ways that they can't interact in other places. It kind of brings a lot of different kinds of people together. It also provides a space that tends to be much more inclusive and desegregated in a lot of ways, especially the Paradox, for example. You could go to shows there that could be a lot of really young people, a lot of really old people. There's always a big queer community at the Paradox. There's also an older, sort of almost over 30 crowd, house heads, black and white. So it brings a lot of people together in Baltimore, which is really important, especially in Baltimore. All this is true of clubs all over the world, but especially in Baltimore, which tends to be such a segregated or almost apartheid-like city, that there's this place where all these kind of different people can get together despite the machinations of the city that almost don't want these people to get together and have fun.
So tell me what else is in this issue. You got a history of Unruly Records. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. So Unruly Records is the sort of the big Baltimore club label. It was founded in 1995, 1996. It sort of had been an entity for years before, but technically as a label, it's celebrating its 20th anniversary. So we have a pretty long and really thorough history of Unruly Records, which some people call the Def Jam of Baltimore, mm-hmm. by Casey Embert, who talked to the founders, Scotty B and Sean Caesar, and also talked to a lot of other members of the club community that worked for it, released records through it, or were influenced by it. So you have this like sort of 20-year-old club label that weathered a lot of storms of club music in the late 90s. The club sort of started to be shut down because of after-hours rules and nightlife concerns, which seems to always be a concern in this city when it comes to dance music. They sort of picked back up in the mid-2000s via K-Swift, and there was some interest from sort of club music got cool for a moment on the internet, and they sort of took some of that. Then there's the death of Kay Swift, who was a DJ on 92Q, and that was sort of the sift blow to club music, and then the label sort of been trying to resurrect itself since then. So we have this whole long, and through that history, you just see the whole history of club music. Mm-hmm. Everyone who is relevant to club music at some point tell the label. Mm-hmm.
And you have a profile of Bunny Vicious. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. So Lisa Stone McRae spoke to Bunny Vicious, who's a burlesque dancer from Baltimore, who does a lot of work in D.C. as well. And Bunny is teaching a twerking class at Sugar, the sex shop in Hamden. And what was really interesting about it was, twerking has sort of become this appropriated Columbus thing. Mm-hmm. And her class is a four-part class. I think the first class starts today on June 23rd. And then it's every Wednesday for the next 4 weeks. And Bunny teaches you how to twerk, but also teaches the history of it, the appropriation, the cultural, the West African roots of it, and all of that. So it's sort of a class for a history class, but also a dance class. And she's trying to merge that, which I think is also what the whole club music culture in Baltimore especially is about, is this idea there's this loaded history and has all this meaning behind it. But at the same time, it's also just really fun to dance. And she does a really good job making sure you don't forget that part as well.
You mentioned Hammerjacks. Do you have any plans to do a history of Hammerjacks? I mean, that's an interesting story.
Yeah, there's so many things like that because, when I grew up as a white kid from in Highland Town and then in the county, I knew Hammerjacks as a heavy metal club, mm-hmm. but then – or a hair metal club specifically. And I think – but there's also a club history of that club. And there's just many things like Odell's. I don't know if people realize this. Some people do. Young people younger than I don't always think realize it. But next to Jerry Carryout on North Avenue is where Odell's was, mm-hmm. and that's there's so many clubs like that. There's a facade. I want to say it's on Howard for a place called the Tunnel, which was a hip hop club in the mid '90s. You can still see the whole front of the building. There's the ghosts of all these clubs are everywhere in the city, and their rise and fall says a lot about the city in ways much more complicated than just music history.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate how you all are drawing these connections and bringing in politics into the music and but keeping it fun as well. So I'm here with Brandon Soderberg, deputy editor and arts editor for City Paper. Check out this week's issue of City Paper. You can pick it up across the city. And Brandon, thank you.
Thank you.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our senior producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our interns are Calvin Perry and Morgan Barber. Our theme music is by Walt Matthews of Clean Cuts. Send me your thoughts about today's program to talk@steinershow.org. And to podcast The Mark Steiner Show and share it with your friends, visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. And for your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.